My name is Mike McCulley. I'm president of the McCulley Group. It's a consulting company, a consulting firm that deals pretty much exclusively with dairy. And it ranges anywhere from working with dairy processors and dairy cooperatives here in the United States, all the way up to working with global dairy companies that are buying dairy ingredients for whatever product they're working with. And I also work with a number of private equity firms, investment firms, trade associations, and get to work on a lot of different projects involving dairy.
This week, a slew of USDA dairy reports coming out to kind of give us a better idea of what's happening at the farm level and what's in storage. When it comes to our milk production report, it did show a little reduction in the rate of growth that we've seen on farms. Can you talk more about that and how this last month compares to maybe some previous years?
I think the number was surprising to see the January milk production up 1.6% versus prior year. The other, I guess, a bit of a surprise in the report was a downward reduction in the revision in the December number, which had been up a little over 3%, and it moved that down to 2.5%. The big number was 3.5% growth in the month of November, which was the highest percentage growth since back in late 2014. So, real quickly, you can see we've gone from a 3.5% growth rate in November to a 1.6% growth rate in January. And a lot of that actually came out of milk per cow. Milk per cow is up only 0.4% or 0.6%, I believe, in the month of January. So I think we're seeing a couple of things. Usually, we would talk about maybe cold weather or inclement weather somewhere in the country in January. That really wasn't the case. Interestingly, a couple of the states with reductions were California and Idaho, and also some softer numbers in a few other states. And I think the two main things that we're seeing, one is with the lower milk prices and higher feed costs, starting to see a bit of a reduction in milk in some areas because of that. And the other thing, some areas were getting to the point of being full of milk or being over full of milk, especially come the spring flush. And some of the supply management programs or base programs that were put into place last spring were kicked back into gear to try to limit the growth. And I think that's what we're seeing in a couple states as well.
Month over month, it seems like the numbers are growing for Indiana and South Dakota. What's leading the rise in those areas?
Yeah, even though there are declines in some states, there are several others that are seeing some pretty solid growth, Indiana and South Dakota being amongst those. And I think in both cases, for those states, are seeing large farm growth. This is a number of farms that are either in place with expansions or maybe new farms being developed, and it's pretty significant. The year-over-year change in Indiana of 34 million pounds was one of the highest of any of the states in the country. Actually, only Texas was up 65 million, Minnesota was up 46 million, and South Dakota up 23, and Indiana up 34. So there's your most of the growth, and actually of all the growth in the United States in the month of January, roughly half of it was just in two states, being Texas and Wisconsin. You throw South Dakota and Indiana in the mix, and you've got most of the growth in the country just in a very small number of states.
The milk production report also looks at farms licensed in 2020 compared to 2019. What kind of changes have we seen as farms are closing and maybe areas where that is happening rapidly?
The number of licensed dairy farms dropped to 31,657 in 2020. And for perspective, in 2017, that was just over 40,000. So a pretty rapid drop in just a couple of years. On average, over those 3 years, the farm numbers declined about 2,850. After 2017's number came out, just using the projections from prior years, it looked like we would drop down under 20,000 cows by the year 2030. If you use last year's drop of 2,550 cows, by 2030, there would be just over 6,000 dairy farms left in the country. I don't think that's the scenario that we'll see, but on a percentage basis, it was down 7.5% last year. If you trend that out to 2030, we'd be down under 15,000 farms by 2030, so roughly a 50% drop from where we were last year. A lot of the most of the declines, or a lot of declines, First, it's pretty much across the board. There's no increases really in any state. There were a few states that held flat versus prior year, but most of the losses, the big numbers, are coming out of the major states where have a lot of a large number of small farms. Wisconsin, New York, Minnesota, Pennsylvania are the states that see the largest declines.
These numbers do not include perhaps some impacts we'll see from Winter Storm Uri. What will you be watching in the next month in there?
I think the winter storm that went through the Southwest a couple weeks ago was quite different than Goliath, which was 5 or 6 years ago. And my understanding, talking to people in Texas and the Southwest over the last week or two, the main differences this time were that this really didn't impact cows that much. It was brutally cold, snow and things like that that comes along with it. But it didn't really impact the cows nearly as much. If you remember in Goliath, there were tens of thousands of cows that were either killed during the storm or were culled after that, and had a several year impact and long-term impact on milk production, and particularly in New Mexico, but even to some extent in West Texas. This time around with this storm, it didn't impact the cows and the farms nearly as much. But what happened this time was that it shut plants down. So there was a massive amount of milk being dumped last week because the plants were closed. Either the milk powder plants had their natural gas shut off, or other plants that were receiving milk lost their power. So whereas in Goliath there wasn't much milk dumped, this time around there was a very large amount. I'd heard even potentially on some days up to 1,500 loads of milk being dumped a day. So the good news is, if the cows made it through that okay, the milk will be there. The plants come back online this week. As one plant manager told me, last week was a nightmare, but things were getting back to normal here this week. So that's good. As far as what to watch for, I think will be the weekly cow slaughter rates, to see if there is an uptick in culling because of any health concerns coming out of the storm, as well as next month's milk production report, which will have a cow number estimate in it for New Mexico and for Texas, to see if there really was much of a death loss. Anecdotally, right now, it doesn't sound like that's a big problem.
This week's cold storage report, again, showing stocks are building. Where are they building, and how did the holiday kind of add to that with our COVID restrictions?
The cold storage report that came out on Tuesday afternoon, at the same time milk production report, also had some surprises in it. I would say that the major surprise was the cheese stocks number. I think given the growth in milk production, albeit less than expected, the expectation would be that there would be a bit of a buildup, a normal buildup in cheese stocks during the month. However, there really wasn't the case. There was just a very small increase during the month of January, much less than usual. So that is a bit of a little puzzle. Not really sure what the driver is. There's a combination of things probably behind it. One is reduced production. Two is maybe some better demand, as even though with restrictions and going out, you think January, again, weather wasn't terrible. Maybe people are driving around a little. People are getting back to work. Maybe that does help food service demand, at least on some styles. The product on the cheese category that continues to struggle a bit would be mozzarella, just because of more of the mozzarella going into the food service relative to, say, cheddar or American styles that are more on retail. So I think that's been the first surprise, and it is supportive to higher cheese prices and milk prices, which we've actually seen markets react to that here over the last couple of days with a jump up in the cheese market yesterday. The not so good news was on butter. The butter stocks continue to build at a pretty rapid rate. January increase wasn't quite as much as normal for the last 5 years. However, they're still well above year-ago levels, 33% above last year's at the end of January, and at a rate we're going to continue to see climb to 400 million pounds or more by springtime, which will be even another a good amount above where it was last year, which is burdensome in terms of butter stock. So it's a bit of a mixed bag on those numbers. Cheese was, I would say, a bit bullish in terms of prices. Butter, maybe a little less than average, but still plenty of butter around.
Mike, just coming out yesterday, a look at dairy cow slaughter, talking about some of those herd reductions, not really as much a reduction month over month as one might expect. What's your takeaway with that report?
There's I think the weekly cow dairy slaughter, I watch it on a weekly basis as well as, you know, seeing the monthly numbers. I keep reminding people there's a couple things in play here. One, there's roughly 70% of the farms in the country that have signed up for the dairy margin coverage program. And that's an important risk management tool that's being used by small to mid-sized farms. That's going to help mitigate a fair bit of the increases in feed costs, and you know, they'll be receiving additional payments from you know, the government through the DMC program. So I think that is helpful to offset some of the, you know, the tighter margins that you're going to be seeing here in the first part of this year. And then on the large farms, there's a pretty good adoption of the DRP, or the Dairy Revenue Protection Program, that helps insulate them as well when it comes to some of the lower milk costs. And they also do probably more active when it comes to hedging feed. So I think that does mute some of at least the near-term impact of the drop-off in milk prices. Typically you would see, I guess before these programs, you would see maybe a little quicker reaction of farms calling off the tail-enders, late lactation cows. But with these programs in place, they tend to see a little longer delay of farmers making that decision. I think the other thing in the back of people's mind is that we're kind of go through a winter here where we still have COVID restrictions and food service demand isn't quite, not back to where it was pre-COVID levels. I think the hope and the expectation is by mid-year, things will get back to normal. We'll start looking at pre-COVID demand patterns returning, more food service demand. And I think in general, my expectation and most people's expectation are for higher dairy prices in the second half of the year. So this may be one of those things where if you can get through the next couple months, brighter days are ahead, and farms are going to hold on to these cows knowing that there will be better milk prices when we get to the second half of the year.
Mike, any last comments or areas you're watching to wrap us up with?
I think going forward here, really, the way I view the dairy markets, cheese and butter, is that we've got a little while to get through the kind of the COVID era and the still with the restrictions on dining in and so forth. I think Q2 is a transition quarter where we move from a COVID world to a post-COVID world. That's when I think we start to see a little more durable recovery in dairy prices and milk prices that sets the stage for a better second half of this year. A couple of the watch-outs would be, on the downside, would be, if there's, a new pop-up of some new variant or something that causes, some restrictions again. I don't think that's very likely. It seems like the glide path right now is to reopening more things and getting back to normal as soon as possible. So I think that's positive. The downside watch out would be the milk production. We saw a drop off in January, but still 1.6% above average. If it does track back up to 2%, or more, I think that's too much milk. One thing we didn't mention on the milk production numbers was that cow numbers still rose. So we're seeing continued cow number growth, and that provides a solid foundation for milk production growth going forward.